Mimi, it's so nice to get this disc. And whenever I see Dolce Suono Trio and the Great Anova recordings with your group, I'm anxious to get it. And I know this came out in February. How is it to be performing these works and now have the recording done? Is it exciting to share it? Is it also a little bit of relief, like, oh my gosh, it's finally out there?
It is. And first of all, John, thank you for having me on your show. Thank you for your listening and support of our music making. It really means a lot. And yes, we're so excited that American Canvas, our new album of Dolce Suono Trio, is out, because, as you know, the gestation process for recording can take really years from commissioning, because this is a new works and premieres CDs, through all the performances and touring we do, to really live with the works, to recording sessions, to release. And so it's definitely something to celebrate and just be thrilled that we can share with the world.
There are probably, I could count on one hand, singers I would want to hear sing anything, The Phone Book, whatever, and Lucy Shelton is one of them. That she is just such a legend, such an amazing singer. How is it to have her join you in this ensemble and for this recording?
It is just really such a thrill and honor to work with Lucy Shelton. She was first guest artist with our ensemble in 2012, and she joined us for a series of concerts all season, and then culminating in the premiere of Shulamit Ron's Moon Songs, written for Lucy specifically, and our trio. And actually, Shulamit Ron was in residence that entire season as well, so we got to do Shulamit's compelling Oh, the Chimneys, about the Holocaust, with Lucy. And, I mean, many of you, of course, are familiar with Lucy's incredible Schoenberg Pierre Lunaire, which she sang with us as part of our Mahler Schoenberg project, marking the anniversaries of those two composers. And just as an artist, as a dramatic interpreter of repertoire, she's inspiring to be on stage with. And so we were just so delighted that we were able not only to do Shulamit's piece in Philadelphia and Haverford, Pennsylvania, and Symphony Space in its first run of performances, but then record it on American Canvas.
If you go back to the Baroque, you might find some flute, cello, keyboard works. And I know there's a early sort of Martineau and Melbonis works for this trio. But it's a unique sound. And while composers have often maybe embraced the violin, cello, piano combination, flute, cello, and piano is just such a gorgeous sound. Is it important to be commissioning new works for this combination?
I think it is. And yes, I'm not surprised that you do know repertoire for this slightly less familiar combination, John, just because of your vast knowledge of repertoire. But yeah, I mean, I think flute, cello, and piano, as you referred to, emerged from the sonata, for the Baroque sonata, where you would have like some of the masterworks in my repertoire by Bach, for example, with flute and continuo, and then you'd have cello and harpsichord. But then it was really through trios by C.P. Bach and Haydn, and especially in our repertoire, Haydn for flute, cello, piano, some of our earliest music, and then Weber, and then through the 19th century, Philippe Gobert, the French flutist and composer, wrote a great piece. But yeah, it's a much smaller but excellent repertoire than, of course, the piano trio. And a lot of the great pieces are 20th century, the Martineau you mentioned, works by Ned Roram are staples. George Crumb, Voice of the Whale, is a classic. And so we love, kind of in our programming on tour, showing this trajectory from Haydn through today. But yes, commissioning is tremendously important to me as a solo and chamber flutist, just to develop my own repertoire, develop the repertoire for my instrument, and then develop the repertoire for this very compelling, sort of economical mixed ensemble of just three voices, but capable of so much coloristic range.
Well, American Canvas is available wherever good music is, iTunes, Amazon. There's all sorts of ways to get this, even physical copies of the CD, I know. And I wanted to ask, as you're based in Philadelphia and at Curtis, how is it to work with sort of the hometown hero, Jennifer Higdon, and put this sort of together, because she's right there? Did you guys have some incredible conversations as this work came about?
Absolutely. And what's really great is Jennifer and I go way back. When I first came to Curtis Institute of Music to study, I was 12 years old. and it was actually the legendary flutist Julius Baker who brought me to study with him. Jennifer Hagen is a Curtis alumna as well as professor of composition now, but she's also a flutist from back in the day, and many of her early compositions for flute I had played, and she was just a wonderful mentor and friend to me from the time I first got there. And I even studied 20th century music class with her before she was a professor of composition. She was doing different academic courses there. And so we even played duets, and I always really loved her flute music and had given the Philadelphia premiere of her Autumn Reflection for flute and piano, which Charles Abramovic and I have performed many times on tour. And so the very fact that Jennifer had time in her schedule and interest to write for us, to write another piece with flute for Dolce Suono Trio, her first trio for flute, cello, piano, was just tremendously meaningful and exciting. And so when we first talked about ideas and I suggested maybe doing something related to visual art, for the theme of this piece, she ran with that. She is very close to painting. I think her father was a painter. Then we had very interesting conversations as she was developing the work and choosing three painters as the basis for American Canvas.
Mimi Stillman is my guest, and American Canvas is now available, and it has some incredible trios and songs that are just very evocative, whether it involves art or different topics. It's incredible. I wanted to go back in time a little bit and talk about playing Debussy day after day and playing this beautiful work for solo flute in different places. And I know you played it around the world. And I know Hilary Hahn has, you know, done 100 days of practicing that sort of inspired folks. But I know this was a few years before that and taking, you know, a real look at Debussy and this one particular piece. Would you tell us a little bit about that journey and how it's affected you? Because this year, folks have been sort of looking at Debussy and honoring the anniversary of his passing.
Yes, John, and thanks for bringing this up, because as a musician and as a historian, Debussy and his world is one of my favorite things to study, perform, and write about, because I had done my master's thesis in history at the University of Pennsylvania on a topic of the influence of Asian music on Debussy, and then continued on to my PhD with other topics, but really just keep returning. I keep returning to the fin de siècle. The music of Debussy keeps pulling me in, and therefore with the programming of Dolce Suono Ensemble as well. So in the 2012-13 season, our ensemble did a year-long project celebrating different aspects of the composer for his 150th birthday. And actually, this year we have Claude Debussy Centennial Festival. So back to Debussy, never too much, right? We are doing a special festival honoring the composer 100 years after his death. But going back to the Syrinx Journey project you mentioned, I also just really wanted to do a personal tribute, a personal journey, thinking about Debussy's music. And so I decided to play his 2.5-minute solo flute masterpiece, Syrinx, that he wrote in 1913 and that influenced so many composers thinking about my instrument afterwards, every day for the entire year, and having a video of my performance on my blog with some written commentary by me. And it was often in live performance. I was throughout the United States, Israel, and Italy that year. Sometimes I was at home. Sometimes I was focusing on literary or artistic connections to the composer, or having friends join me. Lots of colleagues played with me. We did twists on Debussy. We integrated other repertoire. I had family members who are PhDs in languages and linguistics read poetry or text related to Debussy with me. So it was a tremendously exciting, never dull journey. Every single day, 366 Syrinx videos in a row.
It's great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John, so much. It's always such a pleasure to hear about your programming and to talk with you.